Hi, this is David Wilk. I'm here today for the Writer's Cast podcast. I'm interviewing writers on a variety of different subjects, generally on the process of writing, stories about books, stories behind books, the writer's life, things that about writers that we think might be interesting to other people. Today is January 23rd, 2009. I'm in Westport, Connecticut at the lovely Westport Library, and I'm very happy to be here today with Liz Dubelman, who's come all the way from California to be in our cold weather, talking about her new book that she's co-edited with Barbara Davelman. The book is called What Was I Thinking? 58 Bad Boyfriend Stories. Hi, Liz.
Hi.
It's good to have you here.
Happy to be here, I think. The weather's been trying.
Well, you're going home tomorrow.
I'm going home tomorrow.
Well, you'll be warmer tomorrow than you are today, so that's something to look forward to. So tell me about this new book. It's coming out in March.
No, it comes out February 3rd, and the reason it comes out in February is because February is the month of Valentine's Day. And the day after Valentine's Day is a holiday that we discovered while writing the book called Come to Your Senses Day, that women have, well, in theory, been celebrating in secret. And it's the moment that they realize their relationship is over. And it's the day after Valentine's Day, so I believe it was Dorothy Parker said, so that they could have their champagne and drink it too. They women can get together and come to your senses day parties and tell their stories. They have there are several rituals. I have a shot or a drink for a story, and we have the ritual of eating all your Valentine's Day chocolate. And to celebrate the publication of the book and the holiday, we're having six simultaneous readings all over the country where women can get up and they can tell their stories. There'll be women from the book, but also women who have confessions, things that they want to tell about the moment they realized their relationship was over, which is not necessarily the moment they left. Because the moment you leave could take you years before you
actually leave. It's the moment of realization that the book is about.
And you usually don't figure that out until many years later.
And how many women originally submitted stories?
Oh, I don't even know if I can give you an accurate number, but I would say three times as many that are in the book. Plus, women continue to send us their stories through our website, cometoyoursensesday.com, or C2YSD, which is our abbreviation for Come to Your Senses Day. So C2YSD.com, and women still send in their confessions. And some of them are anonymous, and some of them aren't. Most of them aren't, surprisingly enough.
So women are willing to let other women know that they share this experience together.
I would say more than willing. I think that they're looking for a community. And you know, one of the interesting things about the book is there are only all women in the book.
I noticed that.
We tried to get men, but the few stories we got from men were basically the same, which was she was so hot, but she was crazy. So that didn't lend for a real variety. And then we tried to get same-sex couples, but most of them turned us down because they said that it was too private a moment. But we're hoping in the future to coax them out and so that they will have a real sense that this is a human frailty and not
Well, it's actually an interesting idea. So talk a little bit about the difference between men and women in this particular area.
Well, we found that women were more able to be comforted by other women's stories, that they were able to confess and say, I didn't see this moment coming. For example, there's a woman whose name is Mary Margaret Martinez in the book, and she was going out with a porn star. And that should have been a clue right there. I don't think that porn stars make for stable relationships. I don't know, maybe they do. But she was going out with a porn star, and they would go to restaurants, or they would go to her family's, her aunt and uncle's house, and everybody would recognize him. And they treated him like Tom Cruise. They treated him like a celebrity. And nobody ever said, I know you from your films. So it was very embarrassing for her, and they would take pictures. Everybody would always take pictures of him. And she assumed that they were in a non-exclusive relationship because she could go to a video store and see that they were in a non-exclusive relationship. So he went away on a business trip to film a movie, came back, and she, during that time, she had met someone, Mr. Nice Guy, that she really liked. And he stayed over the night. The porn star came back, and he rang her doorbell and said, "Can I come up?" And she said, "No, this isn't a good time." And he started screaming in the call box from downstairs that she was a floozy and she was cheating on him because he only had sex with other people at work. And that was her moment. And she never realized that dating a porn star might not be such a great idea. And even now, when she goes back to her aunt and uncle's house, she still has to see pictures of him and her posed on the mantelpiece.
That's funny. Well, do you think that men will ever be able to share those kinds of moments with each other, you know, in the same context? It does seem like this is a female kind of sharing and support system that you've created that maybe men are incapable of sharing.
You know, to tell you the truth, men will tell me stories in private, but they won't write them. Or they haven't written them yet, but they will confess. You know, I'll tell them about the book at a dinner party, and they'll tell me a story about a woman that they should have known because of the way she cut her food into very, very tiny pieces that sort of made them feel like she wasn't generous or something like that, some little story. And they'll tell me the story, but they won't write it. It's almost as if you have to get a couple of men to write them first.
Well, that will be, I probably would be interesting to try to do that. Maybe that will be the sequel at some point.
Well, I'll tell you, the origin of the book was these small little films that we made of stories. It wasn't a book first. It was a series of small films. And then it was sold to a book. So maybe if we did that for some of the men's stories, they would more readily confess.
Yeah, I think men probably would like the idea of showing off on, you know, on a television kind of screen, you know, a computer animation screen. Well, which reminds me to ask you a little bit, what other kinds of writing have you done yourself?
Well, I've written a series of short stories that I've also made into films. Probably the most popular one was a film called Craziest, which was about a woman who was obsessed with Scrabble, believed that the Scrabble board was telling her things. Maybe not the most stable woman in the world, and I have to say, because everybody asks, it wasn't me. But I've done writing for some radio shows, and I have a novel that I am continuously working on, it seems like. But I've done some writing, but Barbara, I think of myself more as a storyteller. I use a lot of animation and motion graphics to tell stories. I do some writing, but that's not generally how my work shows up. Barbara is a writer, and she's written many, many books, including Yiddish with Dick and Jane with her husband, and Yiddish with George and Laura, and Our Formations, and How to Raise a Jewish Dog, and many, many other books.
And she and you do not live in the same place.
We both live in Los Angeles. But what happened was it was her idea. She came up with this book idea and she was calling it The Exes. And it was the moment you knew this guy was going to be your ex. And I thought it was a fabulous idea. She told me this really interesting story about a woman in her office that had thought she was going to get an engagement ring for her birthday, but she got a gift certificate for a massage. And that was her moment. She knew it was over because somehow they weren't communicating. Clearly, if she thought she was getting a diamond ring and a promise for forever, and instead she got a massage at Burke Williams. And so all the women started to talk about their stories. They started to comfort her and say, you know, it's okay, next year you'll get the ring. And then she was very determined and said, no, it's never going to happen. And they started to realize, she's right. She knows it's never going to happen. And everybody started to confess their stories. So I was very intrigued by this. And Barbara had this idea to collect these women's stories. And I spend a lot of time on the internet. And I have, since 1995, I've worked in the internet. And so I wanted to make these little films of women's stories and ask women to send in their stories. So what we did was we made a little film of Barbara and I talking about this particular subject over cocktails. We set out martinis and we had this conversation. We videotaped it and we put it up on YouTube and everywhere. We also wrote a Craigslist ad and we got well over 100 stories, maybe close to 200 stories. And then we had the task of going through them all, which was fascinating. It was great. And it was cathartic. And we also realized that there was a great community in this, and that if there were 50 women that we ended up, some women have more than one story, but if there were 50 women that were telling their stories in the book, these 50 women had 50 sisters and 50 mothers and 50 grandmothers and 50, at least 50 friends, and they would all buy the book and they all had stories to tell and they would tell their friends and we would put them up on the website.
So that will be going on. You'll be doing that.
We'll be doing this forever, I think.
Well, I want to read a few of the blurbs from the back, because unlike many books, the blurb on the back of the book is somebody talking about the book. But what these are really are excerpted little tidbits from some of the stories inside. And maybe you can talk about those. One is, he accuses you of ruining the soup by making it with the wrong sized noodles. He tries to impress you by using French words he cannot actually pronounce. He tells your friends that he thinks your ass is too big when you leave to go to the ladies' room. He steals your stuff. These are signs that the man you're with is about to be an ex. I'm sure, you know, there are how many in the book? 58?
58.
Yeah, so there are quite a few.
There are, and I was surprised at how many kleptomaniac stories we got. That was pretty surprising to
me. You mean of the guy stealing things?
Guys stealing stuff from the women. I was shocked by that. And I myself had a kleptomaniac story in there, and I thought I was the only one. So for me, that was a revelation.
Well, that's pretty. Are there other themes that have emerged of types of these gotcha moments when you really know?
Well, I think the kleptomaniac, or there are a lot of moments where Barbara's story is called Subtitles, which is a great story, and it's about a guy that she knew from the very beginning that he wasn't the right guy, but she ended up with him for years. So for years, she's suppressing all of her feelings, and I think that he probably was too. But one night, they're at a restaurant, and they see a couple arguing at a table not far from them. And they start to argue about what the couple's arguing about. They start to put words in the couple's mouth, and they realize, they come to this sudden realization, they're talking about themselves and not about what that couple is arguing about. And I thought that was a pretty great story.
Well, you know, you maybe hit on something, that maybe men in relationships are less thoughtful, less aware of these subtleties in the relationship, that I think women... whether, you know, for better or for worse, but it's just a description of women are more sensitive, they're more observant, they pay more attention to the ebb and flow of these moments, where men are probably a little bit less aware and maybe less self-aware.
There was a guy who told me an interesting story. Actually, this was one of the cocktail party stories that a man told me after I told him about the book. He told me about... his girlfriend canceling his subscription to the New York Times because she thought he never read it and it was just a waste of money. And for him, that was it. It was over for him. So I do think that sometimes men are analytical that way and have those moments. They just prefer not to talk about it. I think maybe we're still kind of in the era of the strong, silent, mysterious, dark-haired man, and everybody wants to, all the men feel they need, and they have the need
for. Well, and maybe there's also the public view of men, the culturally public view of men, versus the way men really think and act quietly to themselves.
Right.
And, you know, there probably are elements of that, that the idea of writing about these moments would imply something about you as a man that you might not want to reveal.
I think that that's true, and I think there's, you know, at least that what we've found is that there are a community of women who are willing to say, I made this stupid mistake, because this isn't a book about the mistakes that the men made. The right. men were fine. They were just them. The women never took the hints. They always had this incredible human need to be loved. So they would contort themselves into different shapes to fulfill that need.
Right. No, that's very interesting. Well, you had told me that you were invited to Emerson College in March, and that's where I got the date from. Tell me a little bit about what you're going to do.
Well, as I understand it, in March is Herstory Month, which is Her Story Month, which is Women's History Month. And we've been asked to come to Emerson College and to help them with a program that will allow all sorts of people, not just women, to talk about the moment to write about the moment they knew a relationship was over, and not necessarily a male-female relationship. For example, there's a story in the book called To Die For by Kate Coe, and it's about her breaking up with her colorist, her hairstylist, which, as a lot of women know, is a very difficult and complicated relationship, because it's almost as if when they're working on the outside of your head, they're somehow working on the inside of your head, and it's very hard to break up with them. So that was one of the stories that attracted them. And so we'll go up there and we'll read some of the stories. We'll have other people write the stories. We'll have them read the book. And we'll have a little reading where people will get up and read their stories. And we have a number of exercises that we do in conjunction with the book. You know, writing your first person essay, writing the first person essay from some other point of view, and things like that. And people always really learn something about themselves from it. Even if you decide not to go ahead and publish it, put it out on the internet, or make a small film from it, it's always a discovery process. And I think that most women who wrote for this book would say that.
Well, it sounds like, I think this book will be extraordinarily entertaining, but it also seems, from what you're saying, to have tremendous opportunity for women to grow and to interact with each other, but also to use it as a tool for writing, for self-exploration. This is a pretty interesting book. So I'm just going to remind the audience, it's What Was I Thinking? 58 Bad Boyfriend Stories, edited by Barbara Davelman and Liz Dubelman, published by St. Martin's Press, February 3rd. You can go to Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com or Powell's.com, any online venue. You can find the book in stores, hopefully, and you can go to Liz and Barbara's website, which is
www.c2ysd.com. C2ysd.com stands for Come to Your Senses Day.
Thank you very much, Liz. It was really a pleasure to have you. This is David Wilk for Writer's Cast, and have a good day.